Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Sanhedrin Samach Aleph. We begin 10 lines off the top. Omer le Rav Achmed Ifti, he asked the question, Luravina. Let's go back to yesterday's discussion. Well, we began the sugi of Oved Avod Zara, and it was basically split. It was divided into three categories. Category number one, if a person is Oved Avod Zara Kedarka, the way it's meant to be served, meaning in a manner which is prescribed for this specific idol. And that's learned from a separate pasuk, Eicha Yavdu Agayim Ahayim Asaliheim, which relates to the specific mode of serving that idol. That is Chayiv Misa, regardless of what it is. If it's Kedarka, number two, Shalei Kedarka, doing something which isn't necessarily the prescribed method of worshipping this specific Avodah Zarah, but it is Avodas Pinim. It's something which is meant to be in the Beis HaMikdash, like Shechita, like Zrika, like Haktar. All those, if they're transferred, so to speak, diverted to the Avodah Zarah, Chayiv Misa. Even though it's not really, you know, on the menu for this Avodah Zarah. You're taking something which is meant for a carbon and applying it there, Chayiv Misa. Thirdly, which is a standalone item, is called Hishtachava. It's also learned from a pasuk, right, yesterday, that bowing, irrespective of which Avodah Zarah, bowing is considered on the same level as the other ones, and it's Chayiv Misa. But not other forms of endearment and affection, like hugging, like kissing, like washing. The Avodah Zarah, cleaning, dressing. Not allowed to do that, but it's not on the same level. Doesn't have the same severity. Hishtachavaya is a standalone item. Bowing is universal to all Avodah Zarahs and is Chayiv Misa. So three categories. Kedarka, Shloi Kedarka, which is Avodah Pnim, and Hishtachavaya. And how do we know Hishtachavaya only covers that specific act of Ishtachavah? That's because we had another pasuk, Zeveyach Leiluhim Yachram, a person slaughters the Avodah Zarah, the Shechita, right, there's Misa. If Ishtachavah covers all forms of kibud, all forms of shows of respect and honor, then why single out Zevicha? It's unnecessary. It's all covered by Ishtachavah. Oh, apparently it's not so. Zevicha represents the Avodah Ispinim only. Anything which constitutes a Avodah service in the Beis HaMikdash, if applied to Avodah Zarah, there's Misa, and Ishtachava is a standalone item, strictly related to that, to bowing. Now, we had a kasha on that. Rava Bar Rav Chanan asked Abaye yesterday, who says maybe, no, Ishtachava really is an indicator. It's Lelamed Alakal Kula, it's coming to cover all forms of, you know, Derech Kavod, shows of respect, acts which represent Kavod, done to any Avodah Zarah is Chayev. And regarding the actual pasuk Zeveyach, well, we find something to do with it. Okay, that was yesterday's discussion. We answered it. Now we're going to have two kashas on the Hava Amina. How could we even entertain the notion that Ishtachavaya covers all acts of Kavod? Here comes the first kash. Amale Rav Acha Mediftel Ravina Lemaiduk Amale. A question on a question, right? Let's go back to that question that Rav Barav Chonon asked Labaye. How do you know it's limited to bowing? Eima, yotza, ishtachavo, lamed ala kalkula. Maybe the singling out of ishtachavo is really just an indicator, a general indicator as to the scope and breadth of, you know, how it applies and the scope of the zara, violations and liabilities, meaning any sort of kavod is considered on the same level. That was his question. The question on that question is, if so, then Eicha Yavdu, the pasuk which speaks about the Avodah Zarah being worshipped the way it's meant to be worshipped, Lemutamai, what's it coming to exclude? I mean, if we covered everything, everything is included, why are we excluding anything from the pasuk Eicha Yavdu? The Chitema perhaps will say, well, it's coming to exclude some unusual act. Basically, everything is included except for one, you know, Lemutai HaPoyer Atzmai, a person tends to his personal needs, Lazoivchim, to an Avodah Zarah, which is not expecting it, so to speak. It's a regular Avodah Zarah, which is typically worshipped Derech Kavod. And he did a very degrading, base act, which, by the way, in their world had meaning and purpose, because they pretty much were trying to tap it. They knew that there were opposing forces, so to speak. Hashem created, you know, a parallel system, right? Zeh l'uma zeh, the power of Kedusha, which is challenged and countered by the powers of l'uma zeh, the darkness and evil, right? So they knew about these things. They knew about Hashem, but they tried to tap in, to check in, to identify with the powers of Tumah. So by doing these base acts, turning to one's needs, so the Avodah Zarah called Pa'or, or stoning, the Avodah Zarah called Marakulis, violence, and all these expressions of physicality were meant to draw forth the powers of that Avodah Zarah and whatever it had to offer. In any case, just a side point, in any case, a person does this type of degrading act to an Avodah Zarah, which is not meant to be served with, not a Pa'or, a regular Avodah Zarah, which you typically serve, you know, in the regular mode, Zvicha and Derech Kavod, he's not Chayiv. Maybe that's all the Pasuk is saying. If you take something which is bizarre and do it to an Avodah Zarah where it's supposed to be Derech Kavod, you're not Chayiv. Well, that's already covered again, Mishtachavoya Nafka, that's already known from Mishtachavoya. Because Mishtachavoya is an act of Kavod. Ma Mishtachavoya Derech Kibud, just like Mishtachavoya, which is an act of honor and respect, I've called Derech Kibud. Likewise, all the Avodahs that I learned from there have to be Derech Kavod. So it's simple that doing this Derech B'Zayin to an Avodah Zarah where you typically serve Derech Kavod would not work. So what would the Pasuk of Echo Yabdu coming to exclude? I mean, that's what you just mentioned is automatically off the map. Elo L'mu'ute Apoyer Atzmi L'Markulis. Oh, there is one case which is still not clear. Let's say a person does Poyer, right, tends to his needs, but to Avodah Zarah, which is served in a degrading, lowly fashion. Markulis, where it's stoned, right? So you would think maybe, you know, it's in the same boat. I would think, since Markulis is served in a degrading fashion, so doesn't matter what you do, afkol bizoyin, so any act of the bizoyin, including tending to one's needs, would also serve that Avodah Zarah. Kamash, when I go to the Pasuk and tell you no. Echa Yavdu says, you know, only if it's prescribed to that specific Avodah Zarah, otherwise not. Okay, so we had a kasha. If Ishtachavah covers pretty much everything, why do we need Echa Yavdu? It's coming to exclude this specific case that we just mentioned. Next question on the question. Again, the question was, perhaps Ishtachavah broadens the scope and covers all Derech Kavod. Elo Hadam Rabbi Lezer. What about Rabbi Lezer's lesson, which is a Menayin Luzaveich Behemel L'Markulis, Shu Chayim. A person has a Markulis, where it's meant to be stoned, takes an animal, does Shechita. He's Chayim. Even though it's Derech Kavod, to an Avodah Zarah, where it's meant to be served derech b'zayin. Shenemar, we have a special pasuk. Well, yiz b'chuoid es zvicheim la'seirim. Right? Don't do zvicha to the Avodah Zarah. What's the pasuk teaching us? Imein inyan l'kadarka. It's not needed for a case where shechita is meant for the Avodah Zarah. We already know that. D'chsif from the pasuk echa yavdu, which is speaking about serving it kadarka. That's already known. Neu inyan. So if it's an extra pasuk, we'll apply it to a case where the shechita is not the modus operandi for this Avodah Zarah. And the question is, why do we need this pasuk? Shalai kedarka, to address this type of situation, we have shtachavah and nafka. It's already learned from that pasuk. Shtachavah says that any form of service, which is derech kavod, is liable for any Avodah Zarah. So why do we need the pasuk that we just mentioned? The answer is hasam b'zavech lahachas. This pasuk is speaking about a person who's not doing the shechita to accept Avodah Zarah upon himself, to submit himself to the divinity of Avodah Zarah. No, he's just doing it in spite. Lahachis chas v'shalom Hashem. He's not trying to really submit himself to Avodah Zarah seriously. So that's different than ishtachavoy, which is a show of respect, an expression of kavod and submission. Here it's not so, therefore we need an extra pasuk for that, as we just mentioned. Okay, so pretty much this recap, this sums up and ties up the sugi here, and we proceed to our next sugi, right? So the point was, we had a hava mini yesterday, we had a notion that Ishtachavoy really addresses a much broader scope and covers all forms of kavod to any of the Zara, and the question was, if so, why do we need the pasuk Echa Yavdu? We answered that. Why would we need the pasuk L'Yizbuch? And we answered that as well. But in any case, the sugi of the Gemara doesn't work with this notion. What you concluded yesterday is that in a Chanami, you're right, Ishtachavoy is a standalone act. Bowing is chayiv in all Avodah Zarahs. Otherwise, like other forms of avodah, it depends what it is, and you know, if it's darka b'kach, yeah, if it's avodas pnim, yeah, and ishtachava. Here comes a story with Rav Habnuna, with a tremendous lesson in his immersion and commitment to Torah. Irkusulei turi, he lost his oxen, and he went to search for them. And nowadays, terminology, it's like a person who lost his cell phone, right? He lost his life, and he's going to look for it. And en route, he's asked a halachic question, a complicated question. He doesn't just shoo away. He gets involved, he gets immersed, and addresses the question with great detail. You see their commitment and the loyalty to Limud HaTorah. Paga be Rabba, Rabba meets him on the way. Ramale masnis nadod, he had a question, a contradiction between two Mishnayis. Our Mishnah, Tanan, it says, a person doesn't act of serving an Avodah Zarah, he gets mis Oyvid in, only if he actually does a physical act. Oymer, but apparently if it's just a verbal expression of loyalty to Avodah Zarah, like, that doesn't constitute Avodah Zarah, until he actually does something and carries out his intention. That's our Mishnah. Comes the next Mishnah, Vanan Tanan, we have a Mishnah later on, Oymer, a person tries to convince somebody to do Avodah Zarah. He says, Evod, I'm going to serve. Eilach Evod, I'm going to serve. Right? I'm serving, I'm going to serve, let's go together and serve. And the person on the other side of the conversation agrees, accepts the offer. Right? So it's a verbal consent, a verbal expression of commitment. He's chayav misa. And here we say only a physical act does it. Question to Rav Amnuna. So he responded, Amalei, typically verbal expression counts as a Avodah Zarah. And now Mishnah was speaking that he specifically expressed himself otherwise. But he said, "Eini mekabla alai elam avoda." You know what? I'm not accepting him upon myself yet. I'm not submitting myself to the to this dominion, to this avodah zarah, until I actually do the act of avoda. I want to think it over until then, right? So here it's different. Typically, words are tantamount to service, except when he specifically states otherwise. Rav Yosef responded to this question. Rav Yosef Omar. It's a machlekes tanoim. This question of whether words count. Tanoi shaklas ma'amu. You lost all the tanoim in the world. Look, I'm going to show you. It's a machlekes tanoim. Tanoi. The sandio emir. A person gets up and tries to convince somebody to serve him. I'm your god. Boy veivduni. Or mayor machayev. Or mayor says that's considered mesis. Mesis means you convince somebody to obey the zara. That's already considered. Rabbi the poeter says no, it's not yet. Now Rabbi Yosef explains. Hecha de pochu. If they got up and they served this man. Everybody would agree. Of course, it counts as avodah zarah. The chsiv, don't make yourself. We learn lecha means yourself. Don't turn yourself into a god, as has happened in the right. And during that point in history, when a Jewish man got up and considered himself right, so certainly that constitutes avodah zarah. He pleaded. Machlekes only is b'dibur ba'alma. So it was just verbal consent. It wasn't actually an act of worship, just a verbal commitment to do so. Rameir Savar Debura Milsi. Rameir says words count. Rabbi the Savar Debura La Milsi. No. Until you do an act, it's not considered Avodah Zarah. Clearly, it's Machlekes Tanoim. So your question is really a Machlekes Tanoim. Ha Damar V'yaseh. Rasef came around and says, no, actually, no. La Milsi De Amri, what I said is incorrect. Because really, all agree. Verbal agreement, verbal state of intention is considered Avodah Zarah. Afil Rabbi Yudah. V'debura Nami Chuyivim Machai. Even Rabbi Yudah would hold. Words count as Avodah Zarah, the Sani, as we have a Braisa, which quotes Rabbi himself. So you can't say Rabbi disagrees with Rabbi Omer. Lo ilam ene chayv at sheyemer. He's only chayv if he says, Avod, Elech ve'avod, Nelech ve'avod, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. So clearly words count. So this machlekes that we just mentioned must be a very specific, pinpoint machlekes. It's not a general question of whether words count. But Michael Mithli, so what's the machlekes over here? B'meses la'asme. I'm speaking that a person try to convince others to worship him. So Reuben tried to convince Shimon to make Reuben into the god. And they responded with a resounding, yes, sure, amen, right? That's machlekes. Do we take it seriously? Or is it just viewed as they were trying to humor him, trying to go along with him, play the game, play the joke? Marasavar meses la'atzmai, shamilei. Reuben holds, even when he's doing it upon himself, he's presenting himself as the power, they'll go along with it. V'indika amrile, and when they responded with a yes, kushtu, it's genuine. They're stating their loyalty to him. Omar Savar, Mesis la'asmeh l'shamile. Rabbi disagrees. when he's doing it for himself, they're not really going to accept it. Meima Amri, they're thinking in their minds, you know, if you do it on a horse, a cow, okay. But you? Why are you better than me? Who says you're the God? And I'm the, maybe I'm the God. Maishna, iu minan. Why is he different than us? Minan dinan. Right? Rashi says, why is he deserving to be a God more than me? Right? So although they seem to agree, express their consent, it was just in a humorous context. In the Amri, when they said yes, they're just laughing at him. Okay, so that settles that. We've now understood the machlekes between Rami and Rabbi Yehuda in a case where he's being meses la'atzma, he's trying to get them to worship him. Okay, but in general, all agree words are considered avodah zarah umas nisan. So back to the Mishnah. All right, we had a stira, and now Mishnah it says an act is necessary. The other Mishnah speaks about verbal consent being sufficient. It depends who's being convinced. Is it just one person, an individual, who's going to get swept along and sucked in? He doesn't have a mind of his own. He's going to get convinced. And mere verbal expression is a final commitment. Whereas if it's a multitude, it's a rabbim, you know what? There's going to be somebody in the crowd that's going to say, hold it, one second, what's going on? And abruptly terminate that process. So in that case, until they actually do something, it's not considered. Masnisin kan be yachad anisas. Here we're speaking about one individual is being convinced. Kan be rabbi unisotin, as opposed to many that are being convinced. And the Gemara explains, yachad, if it's just one person, he's not going to change his mind so quick. You don't expect him to turn around so quickly. He'll get pulled and sucked after this fellow. So mere verbal commitment is considered. Like Avodah Zarah, as opposed to the rabbi, the many. They'll have a change of heart, hopefully. And they won't be sucked after him. So until they actually do a tangible act, it's not considered serious. Omar Rabbi Yosef ben Aminullah says, Rabbi Yosef, I'll prove it from a pasuk that even mere verbal consent, if it was expressed by an individual, it counts. Tachsiv. Lo yisev eloi, lo yishma elav. Don't listen, don't accept this person's offer. Don't get sucked into it. Ha'av avashama, but if you accept it, mere acceptance, chayiv, is liable. So you see, by one person, I was speaking about one person, the pasuk is addressing an individual. So mere acceptance is considered like a avodah zarah. Esvi Abaye. Says Abaye, I have a kasha on you, Rav Yosef. You're making this distinction between a yachid and a rabbim. Take a look at the pasuk. Mishani ben nisas the rabbim, nisas the yachid, does it really matter? If it's an individual or it's a crowd, vatani, we have a brisa based on a pasuk, ki sischa, achicha, ben imecha, right? If you'll be convinced by a relative. And the pasuk doesn't specify it if it's one person or many. Echad yochid anisas, echad rabman anisasim. It doesn't matter whether it's one person being sucked into this or many. In terms of the process of making it happen, the only difference is regarding the consequence, regarding the punishment. We know that an individual gets his own personal skila, but his possessions go down to his kids, they're preserved. Whereas a rabbim, like Ir HaNidachas, a full city, they get a lower form of punishment, they get saif, but their possessions get banished, right? That's the only difference in terms of the punishment, the form of punishment, but not in terms of how to get there, in terms of what constitutes worshipping, right? Sure, the pasuk singles out an individual. He's treated different than if it's a multitude regarding punishment, and likewise, rabbim mechal yachid, and the many are different than individual in terms of punishment, and the Gemara explains in terms of the severity and scope of punishment. Yachid mechal rabbim, the individual stands alone, lachmel gufoy, regarding the severity of the punishment applies to himself, he gets skila, which is a more severe punishment, and we go easy on his possessions, which gets preserved and forwarded to his kids. And rabbim mechal yachid, on the other hand, the rabbim have a different form of punishment than an individual. On the one hand, in terms of personal punishment, we go easy on them, they get, you know, relatively easier death, which is saif. In terms of their possession, they have to relinquish their possessions, which are destroyed. So Bahamil so Deshani, only with respect to scope of punishment, we defer between a yachid and a rabbim. Avo b'chol mili, but in terms of other aspects of the process, k'adad denini, we treat them as one and the same in terms of what is considered worship, what's considered a commitment. So how could you make that difference, that distinction between one and the other? Elam Rabbi says, Abaye, I'll give you a different way to explain the Mishnayis. Again, the question was, here we have a Mishnah which says verbal acceptance is considered, and the other Mishnah says it's not. It says, Abaye, Elam Rabbi kan, benisim pi atzmai. When the Mishnah says that until he actually does an act, a physical act, it's not considered, that's when he himself is sort of getting himself talked into it. He's convincing himself to do it. That's different than Kaan ben Nissen pi achirim, as opposed to where he was pulled into it by others. Pi atzman mimlech. If he's convincing himself, so you know what? Tonight he'll pick up another book and unconvince himself, or change his opinion. Pi achirim gor basrei, as opposed to a case where others pulled him into it, he's going to get sucked into the other people. Meaning, if it was imposed into externally, it's more likely that I'll just follow the person and go along with it. So even verbal expression of commitment is sufficient to be considered avodah zarah. Amar Abayi Minami, I'll prove my point. How do I know this difference? Chsiv, lo yisev eloi, lo yishmai elav. Don't listen to him. Don't accept from him. Apparently, we're speaking that he's being influenced externally. And then we say, ha, apparently, avav v'shamachayv, as soon as he accepts and he consents and he agrees, he's liable. That's only because it was done by external influence. Rava Amar, Rava says like this, idi v'idi, both Mishnayis are speaking benisis piacherim, that others are convincing him to do so. It's just a question of how extensive was the convincing process. If the fellow was doing a good job, then the person is likely to follow him and not turn around and change his mind. Whereas if he did a meek job, then you know what? Anything can happen. Huh? When the Mishnah says that even verbal consent is considered serious, huh? The Amalei Kacha Echeles, that's where the convincer actually depicted a very colorful and extensive and detailed description of the powers of the Avodah Zarah. Look what he does, look what he eats. He's a living being. He eats, he drinks, he does favors, he, right? Kacha Echeles, he does good, he does bad. So there, it's more likely that a verbal consent is committal. Whereas our Mishnah, which says, well, just verbal agreement is not considered, is where he wasn't really fully convinced by this fellow. He didn't do a good job at convincing him. He just says, come, let's go to the Avodah Zarah. He didn't really describe him in great detail. Says, Rabbi, how do I know this in fact is true? That you know, the full description is required. The pasuk speaks about the people being sucked into Avodah Zarah, and the pasuk makes reference to all forms of Avodah Zarah which live close by, Hakariv Melecha, belonging to the nations around you, and the Avodah Zarahs that are far away from you. Why does the pasuk have to relate to the location, the local, the long distance? Mali kravim, mali rechaykim. What difference does it make if the Avodah Zarah is local or further away? The pasuk means like this: that apparently the person trying to derail the people in town was using his descriptive, you know, powers and his convincing abilities. Look, you know, the local of the Zohar here, he's no good, but I'll tell you about something special out in India. Oh, he's really powerful. Look what he does. I'm telling you stories, right? And you have no real way of confirming one way or the other. You can't verify the veracity of what he's saying, right? It's far away. So perhaps you'll be tempted to follow. Says the Pasuk, be careful. This is what the Pasuk is telling you. Look at the nature. Tivusan means the nature. The status, the condition of the close ones. You know how they're worth nothing. The ones nearby, they're just plain statues. They don't do anything, right? So draw a parallel. Mitibusan shall kravim atalamid. You can draw a parallel and a conclusion in terms of the powers or non-powers or inabilities of the ones out in China and India. Ma tibusan shall rechaikim. You can connect the two and say, look, just like the ones here are worth nothing, rest assured, the one out there are not much better. So basically, the pasuk is alluding to a person who's trying to convince you by describing, by presenting stories. My love, the Amalei, kach Echeles, kach Shoisa, kach Mativ, kach Maria. Apparently, we're speaking about a Mesis who's trying to suck the people in by this colorful description of the Avodah Zarah's abilities. Shema Mino. So that proves my point. And in fact, you know, we treat that as a more influential attempt, in which case just merely acceptance is considered a serious submission to that divinity, whereas in our Mishnah, where it says only avoda is considered, not verbal expression, speaking that the missionary didn't really do such a great job on the victim, in which case it's more likely that he won't get sucked into it unless you see him actually doing something, actual tangible act of avodah. Here comes another teretz. We're going to have 6 terutzim in total. We had a stira, right? One mission says Amira is not considered. The other mission says Amira is. Rav Ashi Amar Seifa Bisrael Mumar. Typically, words don't count, but the next mission is speaking where he was a Mumar. He was a habitualized idol worshipper, a Yisrael in that state, Nebuch. But until this point, he wasn't really put to death. There was no, it was lacking something in the technical procedure. He didn't get the Hasra or whatever. So since he's known for this type of activity, so mere expression, mere verbal commitment is considered avodah zarah. But in a conventional setting, a regular person, right, there until he actually does, we don't take it seriously. Here comes the 6th and final teretz. Ravina Amar, you know what, it was never a kasha to begin with. We thought we had a contradiction. No, laizu afsa katana, you know, you find many times in the Mishnah, it's sort of a build-up. So Mishnah number 1 is saying that a plain act of avodah zarah, a physical worship is avodah zarah. But not only that, says the next Mishnah. Not only that, even amira, even words, are considered. Okay, so Kunt Ravina applies to all people, in all situations, under all circumstances. Verbal submission to this dominion is considered avodah zarah. Right? Saying, I'm going to serve him, that's already considered enough of a commitment, enough of expression of loyalty, which constitutes avodah zarah. So let's just do a quick recap. We seem to have a stira. Our Mishnah says only avoida, not amira. The other Mishnah says amira as well. Okay, we said typically amira works. That was the first teretz. Amira works, except where he states that he's not trying to serve him through the amira. Then Rav Yosef thought we had a machlekes tanoim. Then he said not really. It's not really connected to machlekes tanoim. Rather, the difference is whether it's one person, an individual being convinced to do so, or a rabbim, where it's more likely that they'll backtrack. Abaye's pshat was, depends. If it's the person convincing himself, or being convinced by others. Rava says, it depends whether the convincer is pulling out all his persuasive talents to do so. Rav Ashi says, depends if it's Yisrael Mumar. Ravina says, actually, Amira is considered avodah zarah, and the Mishnah is merely building it up. Itmar, here comes a new sugya. Ha'eved avodas kechavma. A person does an act of worship, ma'av amira, out of love or fear. He's not seriously accepting the dominion upon himself. He just likes the look of the idol, so he's serving him. He's afraid that the idol might hurt him. Or according to some mefarshim, he's trying to impress the priest. He's trying to protect himself from the cardinal, from all kinds of ulterior intentions. It's like lahavdil, like shalei lishma, right? He's not doing it for the sake of serving the idol. He's doing an act of, but he has another reason for doing so. Is that really considered avodah zarah? Abayu amar chayev, yeah, he's just as liable. Fact is, he did an act of avodah zarah. Rav amar no, potter is exempt. Abayu amar chayev, the more explains the apalcha, because the fact is he served it. Rav amar potter, because he's not seriously accepting it upon himself. If one accepts the avodah zarah upon himself as a divinity, as a divine force, then that really constitutes avodah zarah. Eloi, but otherwise, if he has another reason for doing so, me'av amir eloi, it's not really considered avodah zarah. Simon eved yishtach l'mashiach. Interesting simon. Amar Abaye. Said Abaye, I'm going to prove my position that it's avodah zarah like anything else. That's not, we have a Mishnah. Look at our Mishnah. One serves an idol, and the Mishnah contains it with 2 words. Echad ha'oved. Those words are superfluous. My loves, let's assume the Mishnah is covering our case as well. Echad ha'oved me'ava u'me'ira. So it's covering even this case. Rav Amar Lachalai. Rav would respond, no. We already had a teretz on that question, beginning of the sugya, the Matar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah explained that the Mishnah is covering all different categories, darker and like a darker. It's not going on this case. Amar Abaye, here comes the second attempt. Manam Inil, I'm bringing a raya to my opinion that Me'avim Yira constitutes avodah zarah. The Sanya. Loitzer Shtach V'lahem. Right? Don't bow to the idols. Lahem means, Lahem Yetam Shtach. can't bow to idols as a form of worship. Aval tamashtach v'la'adam k'moyscha, but you can bow to a person like you, meaning just as an act of formality, of kavod, right? You can bow to a person as a show of respect, not to worship him. That's allowed. Provided the person is not, packaging himself as an avodah zarah. Yachal afilu nevet k'haman. Perhaps if the person is presenting himself like an avodah zarah, like Haman did, can you bow to him as well? No, that's different. Tamalayim avloisa avdim. You can't do that. Now, why would the people even bow to Haman? Because of fear. They were deathly afraid of the king who imposed it on all his subjects, right? Everybody has to bow to him. Well, Haman, the example that you cited, Haman, was out of fear. Hava nevet. Apparently, even that constitutes a desorum. For Rava, he responds, well, we cited Haman as an example of a human being bowed to, but you're right. It's not meant really as a full application. We cited Haman as somewhat of an example. We're not trying to compare it fully to Haman. On the one hand, Kahaman, Haman is a perfect example of a person being an avid deserve. But like Haman, it's not really all the way like Haman. You're right. Haman was out of fear, and here we're not speaking out of fear. Because out of fear is not really considered avid deserve. Comes another raya from Rabbi. How do I prove my case? That it's chayiv. The sanya we have a brisa regarding a kohen gadol, a kohen mashiach, a kohen who is anointed by the shavan mishka, by the zara, a kohen gadol, b'avodas kochavim, if he serves an idol. So we know that, let's say a private citizen, a regular Yisrael, if he does chilul Shabbos b'shegig, he brings a chatas, etc. But there's something called par helem davar shel tzibur. If the entire community, a shevet or whatever, mistakenly committed a sin, resulting from a misunderstanding of the bezdin, a misapplication of the halacha, right? Misconstruing, so to speak, a concept, right? That's called helem davar. So it was instructed by the bezdin, and the crowd followed through. They bring a special carbon called a par, helem davar, since the concept was forgotten. And a kohen gadol, likewise, being a leader as he is. His process mirrors, so to speak, the process of the community. He will not bring a regular chatos if he does something wrong. He'll only bring it if he was in the fog. He sort of misunderstood, misinterpreted a halacha called hel and davar. Now, regarding avodah zarah, if he sins mistakenly regarding avodah zarah, koyin mashiach avodah kechavim, Rabbi Omer b'shigas maaseh. Here it's different. Even if he just inadvertently did something with a shkaga, a regular forgetfulness, that's considered for a carbon. No, just like generally you need helem davar, forgetting a concept, misunderstanding a concept, belem davar. Likewise, over here by avodah zarah, the same applies. Vishavan, but all agree in terms of the type of carbon. Shabbos Ira, he brings a female goat, kiyachad, just like every individual of the community who sins with avodah zarah. So regarding the form of carbon, it's the same. Regarding the process of getting there, Rebbe says a regular shkaga, chamam say, you need helem davar. Vishavan, of course, all agree, she'en maybe Hashem Tali. A kohen gadol will never bring an Hashem Tali, which is a specific carbon for a person who's in doubt whether he did an avera, and that only applies to an individual, not to him. Okay, now let's just focus on the machlokes between Rebbe, who says an ordinary shgaga of a dezara qualifies for the carbon. Chacham say helam davar. Now let's try to find an example of a shgaga. How can you have a forgetfulness regarding avodah zarah? Whatever you do is an outright expression. I mean, there's no forget. He could suffer. So perhaps we're speaking that he's sitting in a base of a desert church, and he's thinking it's a shul. He could suffer base of Knesset. So he thinks it's a shul, and he's bowing to the power who's resting in the shul, so to speak, who's Hashem, Mishtach V'loy. So it turns out it's really a church, and he was Mishtach V'tav Dezara. No! That's not even considered an act of a Dezara. Hari Libel Hashemayim, his heart. His loyalty to Hashem, meaning it was an expression of a loyalty and commitment and worship to Hashem. It's not even an act of a desire. It's not like he did have a desire b'shagi. He didn't do an act of a desire. By definition, what he did is not of a desire. Ella, let's give another example. The Chazan Darta, he saw this statue that they position on the highway when the king passes by. And sometimes they worship that statue. So it was a likeness of the king, and he bowed to Vishnach V'loi. Not realizing that it's, well again, Ikibli Alei Beliha. If he knew that this was meant as a god and he accepted it upon himself as such, Mezidu. It's a deliberate form of vedazara. It's not shaygeg. Ve'i, deloy kibli le'beliha. Now, if he didn't realize that it was being positioned there as to attract worshippers, they weren't worshipping the king, he thought it was just for kavod hamelech, expression of respect, a show of respect to the passing king. Then, like Lumu, again, he did nothing. It's a non-starter. See, Avodah Zarah, as opposed to turning out a light on Shabbos, which is an intangible act, Avodah Zarah is something more spiritual, something more related to a person's attitude, intent, and requires focus and cognizance. Elulav, so the only case we can apply here, we're looking for an act of Avodah Zarah, which is Shaygeg. Me'avamir? Elulav, me'avamir? Apparently, speaking that he worshipped, he didn't act, but he was doing it out of Avo, out of Yira, to impress somebody, to protect himself, out of love, out of fear. And he thought it's okay. So that's an act of Avodah Zarah, which is Shkaga. So you see, in any case, that's considered an act of Avodah Zarah, like Abaye. V'rav Amalek, Rav responds, no, loy b'mer mutar. That's not the case. We're speaking that he's thinking that it's totally fine. He's worshipping regular Avodah Zarah with a false mindset, thinking that it's okay. He never learned it or whatever. That's called Shkaga. Says the Gemara, okay, but Omer Mutar, your case of Omer Mutar, Hainu Helam Davar. Isn't that exactly what Helam Davar means? That he's in the fog regarding the concept? It's not just a forgetfulness. He's in the fog. It's unknown to him. Well, says the Gemara, there's a difference. But Omer Mutar Lagamri. Omer Mutar means he's totally in the fog. He has no clue that Avodah Zarah is Aser. As opposed to Helam, so that's called a Shoyg. Helam Dover, as opposed to the other term, Helam Dover, which is mentioned by the Chachamim, they require it to be Helam Dover. Helam Dover means a certain aspect, a certain detail, a concept within the broader Avodah Zarah arrangement that he misconstrued, that he misunderstood. Helam Dover means Kiyum Mitzas. He's upholding some. He understands that some is Asur, some forms of Avodah Zarah is Asur. Like, I don't know, Shechita and Zrika is Asur, Ubitu Mitzas, but he's deleting others. But Mishtach is Mutar, right? He misunderstands the halachas and he thinks that it's Mutar. So it's a partial misunderstanding. That's called Helam Davar. And Shkaga, just we're looking at definitions, right? Because otherwise there would be no Machlekes here. Shkaga and Helam Davar are one and the same, then there's no Machlekes. So apparently there's a difference. Helam Davar means he's in the fog regarding a certain detail of Avodah Zarah, and Omer Mutar, according to Rava, means he totally was unaware of the Isser altogether, on the entire concept of Avodah Zarah. Okay, in any case, we concluded with an interesting machlekes. Avodah Zarah me'ava me'ira, according to Abaye. Fact is, it's Avodah Zarah, it's chayv, according to Rav, it's potter. Abaye had several rais to his position, which were all responded to and answered by the Gemara, representing Rav's position as well. All the best to you, and atzlacha Rav.